This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Okay, back here with Peter Ferreira. You were in the at the London International Wine Show. You were discussing with Jamie Good about the latest changes in the screw cap versus cork debate. Do you want to give us a quick rundown on what the current thinking is, or and your opinion on it?
Chris, I think we finally arrived that we understand that it's not more the sort of debate whether it's screw cap or cork. I think we've just got a very good understanding now that cork is far more unreliable and that there are better suitable alternative closures, of which screw cap is one and synthetic closures is the other. I think what we've, and it was really an interesting debate, you know, it wasn't, you know, my closure is better than yours and blah, blah, blah. And I really think we've got an understanding now as to look how closures are going to look in the next 10 years.
What is that? Because, you know, as you're saying, the three basic closures are cork, screw cap versus, and then plastic. Yeah.
Just to give you a brief little background, I do so many wine and dines and things like that where invariably, you know, having natural closures now, I'm talking about natural cork. What happens is when we have a big wine and dine evening where I have to open 10 bottles of one wine and I open it up and invariably just check them for any taint or, you know, that the wines are sound, invariably there'll be two or three that I'm not so happy with.
Yeah, you get big, we do that a lot.
You get a huge variation and... I think what we have to understand as winemakers, you know, we put so much effort to get the quality right there. So we have a very good idea what the end consumer should be enjoying. And, you know, we never know that by using cork. So what we have got as an understanding is that consistency is far, far more important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is where the alternatives do come in. Screw cap is a fantastic alternative. When you open one and you open bottle number 10, they're all the same.
Yeah,
you open it with plastic or synthetics, it's very similar. So we've got rid of the sort of inconsistency of wine. That is the main issue for me between natural cork and then the alternatives.
What about, so you're not so much worried about the cork taint in the wine? You now think that have you tried any of the new corks yourself, maybe in your own winery? Because they've been trying new stuff, cleaning out the cork taint, or TCA as they call it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the TCA. Invariably we know, and there's so much research done by especially the Australian Wine Research Institute, that cork taint is there. It's 4% plus. And you can make that percentage any percentage you really want to. Depends on how you see it. But what they have done is that for far too long, you know, the cork suppliers didn't want to understand that there was this contentious issue of cork taint.
The old ostrich hid in the sand.
Hitting your sand, you know, we've got ostriches in South Africa. You should put the, when it's 40 degrees, they bury their heads under the ground. I know why. But anyway, so I think now that the alternatives is so much in fashion, cork suppliers have woken up. And I have just recently been in Spain to the Diam treatment of corks.
They're one of the big Spanish producers, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a French company who's put up the plant in Spain. It's Una Bouchage, and they have what they call a reconstituted cork. So what they do is they grind down the cork to sort of very small particles, and then they do the Diam treatment. The Diam treatment, it's quite technical, but it's in a chamber where they will, at a certain temperature and pressure for CO2 into this chamber where this cork is passing through. And what happens is this CO2 is neither liquid or gas, so it's a slurry. Yep. So it abrases this cork particles and eradicates it and sort of sterilizes it. And then these pieces are then reconstituted into a cork.
Yep.
Now the nice thing is, it's just not made into a cork-like thing. It has a certain amount of permeability. So they have two grades of permeability now.
That means to let the air in.
So that we can let the air in. What I think what we've learned out of screw cap closures, and it's also improved over time, 10 years ago there was one closure of screw cap, and it had zero transferability. Yeah. But these days, screw cap has got thin or liners inside,
yep.
which has a certain permeability.
Oh, so they're allowed, you can now?
Yeah, because it's all happening, yeah.
One of the big things I've been reading recently is that the fact that screw caps don't allow oxygen into the wine, and as a result, the wine tends to age without oxygen, yeah. which changes the way the wine ages.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically, thanks. Hypothetically.
Have another glass.
Yes, thank you. Hypothetically, the screw cap is 2,000 times more efficient than natural cork.
At
a given. So if you have a cork allowing a certain amount of oxygen in, it's less likely 2,000 times that a screw cap's going to do that. That's why they've built in these liners to give you permeability, so to let the wine age a little while. Otherwise, the wine's never going to mature.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, you know, there is certain wine styles that we'd like to see progress over time, because that is the way we would like to see that wine style.
When I've been running tastings, one of the things I've been telling people is, you know, if you want to age the wine, you need the oxygen, so, you know, cork's the way to go, whereas if the wine's young and fruit driven and you want to drink the wine young and fresh, like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, for example, screw cap is by far the best closure, just because of that 1 in 5 or 1 in 20 bottles of wine aren't corked and you've got a consistency. Would you agree with that, or do you think there's that with these new liners that and the oxygen getting in, that's not true anymore?
No, I think you're totally spot on. I mean, I think you understand the issue 100%. It's just in the recent times, and I'm talking for the last 3 years, these liners of permeability that they use in screw caps as an inside liner. So if you roll off the crown, the screw cap, yeah. and you look inside,
that
silvery thing, it's spongy.
Yep.
And there they've got this permeability.
To
let the oxygen in.
Oh, okay.
But research also tells us we're not exactly sure how much oxygen does need to be transferred. Because if you look at a natural cork, you can have a cork that has got the same contributions virtually as a screw cap. It's been proven. But because of the inconsistency of the cork, it can't be guaranteed.
So you might have one that lets in loads of oxygen, whereas one lets in just a small
virtually
amount.
Virtually nothing, yeah.
And what about the synthetics? Because they used to be that, whilst they're plastic, you think that no oxygen would get in, but it seeps down the side, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've refined the process, where at first, you know, with no permeability, it still was running out, you know, on the between the cork and the inside of the glass. So yeah, it was running out that way.
And that's why it was always so hard to get the plastic corks out, wasn't
but
it?
We started off with that, and we normally had to supply a corkscrew with every case of wine we sold, because invariably somebody came back and said they couldn't get the cork out. You know, so
you shouldn't be using your teeth.
they were breaking their screw cap, their screw pulls and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really so. Yeah, so it's come a long way. I think the most important and the debate for the future is that winemakers have to become designer winemakers. We have to design a wine to suit the closure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we have to change our approaches a little bit. And also, I think we have to understand what the consumer wants.
That would be, for example, people saying that if the wine's not going to have much oxygen in it, you may run copper or copper it?
Well, you know, I think you're touching on the fact that some of the wines become reductive once they've been bottled.
So
they go into a hibernation where you get sort of sulfurous compounds building up, which is not too nice.
And you manage that.
You know, I see sometimes, you know, somebody's just pouring it and then they quickly shake the glass to sort of get that reductiveness out of the wine.
Oh, so if you do have a wine that smells a wee bit sulfury, just let it breathe a bit and that'll
clean it. Sometimes it does. It really depends how strong that sulfur bounding is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I yet to find, you know, screw caps that really show you this. It's really minuscule. Yeah. And I really think it's also to do with winemaking.
Yeah.
You have to refocus. You have to look at your nutrients, not only look at the wine prior to bottling and say, oh, we have to make sure that this wine is ready. So you have to analyze the nutrient levels as the juice comes in, because sometimes you have a deficiency already there that develops this sort of reductive characteristics.
And what about the plastic closures? You know, do you guys use plastic closures on any of your wines?
That is how we've sort of progressed. You know, we've understood that screw cap is an alternative, and we've been doing our own little in-house research. But we've also found that the next step up was to go for synthetic closure, the plastic closure. And we've had great success, because we have wines in the marketplace that we want to be enjoyed in 9 months. So that type of closure was perfect for that wine style.
I used to historically recommend people not to put wines, buy wines for aging under plastic because of the amount of oxygen they were known to let in. But yeah. I've heard that other closures now are maybe a bit better and not letting as much oxygen in. Is that true? And if so, would you maybe suggest trying to age the wines under?
Yeah, I think you know, one will have to really research that a little bit more, but I know for a fact that on a wine that I would like to see develop over time, let's call that time 2 or 3 years in the bottle, I still like natural cork. I might consider this new reconstituted one because I will have my consistency, which is a plus factor. And I know that a wine that I want to sell within 9 months, because that is how my consumer is going to or likes to enjoy that wine, the synthetic closure is fine, because the synthetic closure gives me approximately 18 months. Oxygen-free.
Yep.
Before it really picks it up. So yep. I've got a safety barrier of another 9 months using synthetics for that wine style.
Yep.
And then if the consumer alternatively wants screw cap, I have to do the major investment to invest in changing my bottling line to adapt for screw cap technology.
You're not running screw cap at the moment at Glambeck Wines.
We've done our homework. We know the investment is quite large. Of course, we've managed to have the understanding that for the wine style that we need to sell early,
yep.
Synthetics work. But if we have a customer that wants screw cap, we are ready for it.
Well, thanks very much, Peter. It's been great talking to you about the screw cap coaches, and good luck with the rest of the trade tasting.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good to see you.
That was Peter Ferreira from Glambeck Wines talking about the new corks and closures. Next up, we have Suzanne from Nomu Corks. I cornered Suzanne at the London International Wine Show shortly after talking to Peter Ferreira from Glambeck. Suzanne is going to talk to us about the new synthetic closures that Nomu are making and how they perform compared to normal corks.